John Chen from Rogers Sports Center joins us once again. Johnny, how you doing?
Good, Jason. How are you?
I am doing well. Let's start with the business off-ice type of things. New GMs in Carolina. The coach is out. I don't think that's a major surprise by anyone with Ron Francis getting rid of Kirk Muller. A, where do you see Muller reappearing? And B, who do you see Francis looking at?
Gosh, we've been talking about this for a while now, and you know, you knew that Ron had to do something, and I would suggest that it was probably part of the negotiation of him taking over, that he's not going to be a figurehead. He wants to do it. He wants to do it his way. And quite frankly, I think there's a real belief in Carolina they have to change the culture. They have to change the philosophy of how this team plays. Because if you looked at them, and even with the big stars, and let's face it, even with some big contracts, I'm not sure what personality this team had. And I think if you sat down with Ron Francis, he would say, I'm not sure what personality we had either. So the challenge is to find a coach that can go in and create a personality for this team, probably with a few alterations to the roster too, and maybe even a few free agents. Obviously, the names like Kevin Dineen are there, Peter Laviolette, although I'd be shocked if that one ever happened. I've heard the name Eddie Olczyk in that mix even. So there are some real options for Ron. And the obvious one, I think, of the one that seems to be getting the most traction is Ulf Samuelsson, who, again, Ronnie knows from his days in Hartford and his days in Pittsburgh, and has in many ways paid his dues as an assistant coach around the NHL.
Randy Carlyle, is he staying in Toronto?
Well, I mean, your guess might be as good as mine. I suspect he is. I suspect that they will give him one more kick at the can here. You know, there's a lot of things that Randy may have done wrong from a communication perspective, but he's still a very good coach. And I do think that the culture in the locker room had to change, and that means players before coaches. So I think he's staying. At this point, but you know, Brendan Shanahan's the new sheriff here now, and he may have already decided that he doesn't want him here, and this is a done deal. But if he's going to listen to Dave Nonis, Nonis is still a big Carlyle fan, and I suspect that early on Brendan has to live with the manager and therefore live with the coach.
So if Carlyle's staying, and, you know, they talk about players before coaches, you know, there seem to be a lot of people who felt like there was certain players' dissension within the coach. Do you see any players then being moved out?
I'm not sure. You know, what are the Leafs trying to do, and where are they in this quote-unquote rebuild, if that's what Dave Nonis has been trying to call it for the last year? You know, the two obvious players that appear to be movable that would probably thrive in a change of scenery are Nazem Kadri and Jake Gardiner, both of whom have lived in and out of Randy's doghouse during parts of the season. Some guy, and they're, you know, so what can you get for those players? Is that something, if you can package them, can you improve your draft position? Is that something that Dale Tallon might want to be interested in? So I think that from that perspective, their needs in Toronto have not changed one bit, whether it's Brendan Shanahan or Dave Nonis or Brian Burke. They need a number one center. They need at least two defensemen. Does that sound familiar, Edmonton? They need at least two defensemen. The one thing they have shored up in the last 18 months is their goaltending.
Yeah, speaking of that, man, I think it was Steve Simmons had it today that an NHL executive told him the Leafs shouldn't even qualify Reimer, which almost made my head explode. Why wouldn't you qualify him? It's like $1.8 million. Of course you qualify him, because then at least you can maybe move the asset. To let him walk away would seem ludicrous to me, no?
Ludicrous. I mean, if you have an asset that you know is coveted around the league, why would you give it away for free? And even if you can parlay it into an extra third or second round pick, now second might be a little aggressive, but a third round pick at the draft, why not do that? I mean, it's no different in many ways than what Washington did with Jaro Halak in trading him to the Islanders last week. They got something for him and give the Islanders a chance to sign him.
Yeah, and it sounds like they might sign him there, and you know, I guess you know that's a deal that I guess maybe you would make. Like James Reimer had some pretty decent numbers on a team that gives up a ton of shots. This year, of course, he struggled. Reimer's confidence looked completely shot, John, and I guess that would be the one concern is, you know, is he mentally tough enough to be a starting goaltender regardless of the media market?
Well, good question. I also think that it's for me, it's relationships. By the end of the season, the amount of words spoken between Reimer and Carlisle were minimal. One of them had to go. One of them has to go. And I, as I said from the beginning, I suspect it's not Carlisle. And James Reimer can get you something back. That to me is the big issue is, what can you get back for him if you do qualify him? And I fully expect the Maple Leafs to qualify him. So from that perspective, between now and at least the draft, you can use him, or even in the summertime, I guess, if you qualify him, you can use him as an asset to improve your roster somehow, some way. And go out and find, there are still going to be some free agent goaltenders out there available to go sign somebody as Bernier's backup.
Do you think John Tortorella gets back in the NHL this year?
No, not this year. You have to reinvent yourself. You have to be patient. You have to do things certain ways. And he will be damaged goods for a bit. But at the same time, I don't think we ever, I don't think we saw Peter Laviolette coming back into the game, and all of a sudden he did. We didn't see Michel Therrien coming back into the game. He did. Memories are very short if you think the guy can turn your team around. And I fully suspect that Tortorella, like Ron Wilson, will take some time. He doesn't need to work. He's going to be paid for 4 years. So from that perspective, that's not the issue. So the question becomes is, do you go away, you re-energize yourself, you rethink your position, and then you resell yourself. So a year from now, that might be a different story, Jason, but I would be shocked if John Tortorella is in the NHL next year.
What about Ralph Kruger? Do you see him coming back to the NHL as an assistant?
Wow. I don't know. I think some guys are destined and born to play and to coach in Europe. And I fully suspect that Ralph might be one of those guys. He's created a very good situation in Europe, whether it be in Switzerland or whether it be he's the president of a Premier League club right now. There's some strength. Ralph's a very good entrepreneurial guy, and a pretty good life. And he got lots of credit around Team Canada in Sochi, and I think he's probably parlayed that into something in Europe as well. And so I would be shocked if he got back in to the NHL at any level.
John Shannon joins us. John, to the on ice of the playoffs right now, Chicago just looks like they're just getting better and better game in and game out. Meanwhile, the Pittsburgh Penguins are so much focused on Sidney Crosby not scoring goals. It's 8 games this year and he doesn't have a goal. And I know 5 more last year, but whatever. That's a year away to me. There's really no point in comparing the two. But you look at the Penguins, Marc-Andre Fleury coming off a shutout. Should we be talking about this Penguins team playing quite well despite their best player not having a goal, and once he eventually scores, watch out?
Talk about them after tonight. I think tonight's the watershed game in that series. Simply the Rangers going home and the advantage that MSG and the last line change might be for Alain Vigneault. He'll have a greater opportunity to put the two defensemen that he wants out against Crosby. I fully suspect that's Mark Stahl and Anton Stroman. So from that perspective, that's going to be key for the Rangers. If in fact the Rangers win tonight, then I think a lot of question marks will continue. And if the Penguins win tonight, then I do think we should start talking about them before Game 4 on Wednesday. But tonight to me is the key night for them. If the Rangers can anyway come through this 5 games in 7 days, 6 in 9 days, scenario with 2 victories out of 3 against Pittsburgh, then a lot of the question marks in Pittsburgh will remain.
Let's say the Penguins lose this series. Would they still make a coaching change?
Possibly. Possibly. There's something amiss right now. And obviously winning solves everything, but there's something there. And whether it's, hey, it might be as simple as, a little bit of a gap between the, 87 and the coach or whatever. There are some interesting things going on there that if they don't continue to win, then I think that there'll be some question marks.
The Los Angeles Kings, Anaheim Ducks series. Man, the Ducks could have won that game. They're 7 seconds away. Then they end up losing it. Series I expect to go long. But the LA Kings suddenly looking like a team that's just, you get some bounces and you get a lot of confidence and you get Marian Gabbert going and maybe watch out for the King.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and you get Marian Gabbert, can you have Jonathan Quick? We're now back to seeing the Jonathan Quick we saw most of last season and the year they won the Cup, as opposed to those three games, the first three games of the San Jose series. I mean, without Quick's great performance in Game 1, the Ducks win in a walk. I think this is going to be a long, hard series, which is even more advantageous for the Blackhawks in Round 3. But at the same time, to me, I love the size and the speed of the Ducks in this situation. They are, those three teams in California, Jason, I think you and I have talked about this before, how those three teams were designed to play against each other. Seven games, San Jose and the Kings, and I suspect seven more games between the Kings and Anaheim surviving that series. Might be a real challenge for any team that comes out of it. But I still think Anaheim can win it if Ryan Getzlaff, who wasn't the best forward on the ice for the Ducks in Game 1, if Ryan Getzlaff can get back to regular season form.
John, source telling me that PK Subban's agent, they're looking at $9 million a year in over, obviously, 8 years is the maximum. I don't see that what he's getting, but I could see them asking for that because that's how negotiations work. Ultimately, is Subban an $8 million player next year? What do you think he gets?
Well, I've always said 8x8. I think that 8x8 is that was the risk the Canadians took, and let's face it, that was the risk that Subban took too. And it just so happened in the shortened season, Subban won the Norris and has continued to perform well. And I mean, if you can't tell me that he hasn't been a great performer for Montreal in the playoffs, holy smokes, very impressive under very trying circumstances. Circumstances that may have, driven you or I over the edge. But he's, with that shot and with his personality and then with his physical play, Subban is everything they want and more. And in my mind, in the toughest hockey market in the world, he's certainly worth, whether he's worth it, he's going to get it 8x8 at least.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And the guy, he's matured a lot off the ice. He's a huge ambassador to your team because he's a well-spoken guy. He's not cliche. Yep. He'll do fun things, which makes fans gravitate towards him more. He hits, he shoots, he passes, he skates. He's got it all. I think, he's an $8 million player for sure in Montreal.
Well, but the one thing I can tell you, Jason, is that PK worked for us during the lockout and he was magnetic. He has a great personality. He's very personable. He asked as many questions as opinions he gave, which in this day and age of guys in their early 20s isn't necessarily the case. I was truly impressed with him as a person in that period of time, and you can't help but be impressed with him as a player.
John, always good to catch up with you. Any other coaching casualties you think coming in the NHL before the offseason's over?
Well, I mean, I do think that, the Carlisle one's going to be interesting here. Bylsma will be interesting if they get eliminated. I think we might be running close to the end, and I fully expect Phil Housley will get the job in Nashville. So that, whether that's the easy answer or not, but at this point, I don't think we're going to see many more casualties.
Where do you see Barry Trotz? Does he go back in the NHL next year?
Oh, I think so. The question is it simple as Vancouver? I mean, I don't know if you go from John Tortorella to Barry Trotz. I don't know how that improves your roster. But at the same time, Barry lives in Vernon, B.C. in the summertime. So he's close to the market, and his resume is one that you can't question. I'm still not convinced that he's as good a coach as everybody makes him out to be based on what he did in Nashville, but that's just my personal opinion.
John, great to catch up with you. We'll talk again soon.
Happy 5th of May.